Tonight, for my lecture, I'm going to sing and explain one of our traditional Vaishnava songs. In our movement, besides standard kirtans and prayers, we have songs composed by two major Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. One is Bhakti Vinod Thakur and the other is Narottam Das Thakur. So tonight is a song called Ishta Deva Vigyapati. I will sing one verse and then explain. There are four verses in total. Hari Hari Bifale Janama Goainu. Hari Hari Bifale Janama Goainu. Hari Hari Bifale Janama Goainu. Manushya janama paya Radha Krishna nabajiya. Manushya janama paya Radha Krishna nabajiya. Janiya shunya Vishakainu. Janiya shunya Vishakainu. Hari Hari Bifale Janama Goainu. Vanchaka Patrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaya Vacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So in this first line, Hari Hari Bifale Janama Goainu. Narottam Das Thakur wrote in the Bengali language. In our movement, the songs are either in Sanskrit or Bengali. So Hari Hari, he's calling out to God, to Krishna. And this name Hari sometimes is misunderstood. The nice meaning of Hari Hari, God or Krishna, is that person who takes away the stumbling blocks which are preventing us from making spiritual advancement. Those stumbling blocks is our attachment to this material world. Our attachments in this material world, first of all, we are attached to this body and mind. We are attached to our possessions. We're attached to our position. Attachment is one of the major themes of Bhagavad Gita. And those of you who are familiar with the epic Mahabharata, this concept of attachment is very much prevalent. It was because of attachment that Dhritarashtra lost everything. He was too much attached to his son Duryodhan and his other 99 sons. And because of that undue, unnecessary, or you could say too much attachment to kith and kin, that wound up destroying everything. He lost everything. Why? Because of attachment. And Bhagavad Gita teaches us that actually attachment is the thing that's keeping us and keeping us here in this material world, and we have to come back birth after birth after birth because of our attachments. When we become detached, completely detached, then you can free yourself. You can get liberation. And even that concept is misunderstood. Because actual detachment is actually two sides of a coin. First is becoming detached from material things. But that's only half. Because actually, if you want to become detached from this material world, you have to transfer your attachment to Krishna, to God. Without becoming attached to Krishna, God, then you will fail in your detachment. You will wind up becoming attached to something in this material world. So the message of Bhagavad Gita, the message of Krishna consciousness, is to become attached to Krishna. Become attached to Krishna, His name. That's why we incessantly chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Here in this temple we have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He teaches that I cannot become attached to your holy name if I'm committing offenses while chanting. So a serious practitioner of Krishna consciousness is very much concerned about not committing offenses. Offenses to the devotees, offenses to the deities, offenses to the spiritual master. The devotee is very much concerned not to commit offenses, because if I commit offenses, I will lose my attachment to chanting. And chanting is everything. For a devotee in Krishna consciousness, chanting the holy name of Krishna is everything. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kevalam. Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gatiranyata. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. If I want success, if I want to become free from attachments in the material world, I must become attached, first of all, to Krishna's name. Then, what else? Krishna's name, His fame, His pastimes, His entourage, His paraphernalia, His temple. Yes, becoming attached to Krishna's temple is very good. It's attachment to Krishna's temple that propels the devotee to make the temple nicer and nicer and better and better. You can see by the deities here, the devotees are attached to their serving Lord Chaitanya and his associates. So, Hari Hari, I want God to take away those things which are preventing me from becoming attached to him. The devotee wants to become more and more attached to Krishna. Now, in this next part of the song, Bifale Janama Goinu. So he is lamenting in this song. There are millions and millions of songs in the Western culture songs called the blues, where the person is lamenting that he lost something in the material world. So there is also spiritual lamentation. Here, Narottam Das Thakur is taking the position of a conditioned soul. A conditioned soul is bereft of Krishna consciousness, lost in the material world, and is attached to trying to enjoy in the material world. So he says, Bifale Janamagainu. What he's confessing, he's making an assessment of his life. I have spent my life uselessly. What have I done? Manushya Janamapaya. Yes, I obtained human birth, and we know from the teachings of the Vedas that getting a human birth, Durlaba. In another song I like to sing, Durlaba Janama. Human birth is rarely gotten. In the spiritual evolution of the soul, the conditioned soul, there are 8,400,000 different kinds of births. Only 400,000 are considered human. 8 million is less than human. So to get the human birth is a rare opportunity. It's a great benediction. You have earned this. But Narottam Das Thakur is lamenting, although I got this human birth, I spoiled it. I wasted it. Uselessly. Bifale. And that is our position also. There are two things in this world. There is service to God or Krishna consciousness, and there is sense gratification. Those are the two options. At every moment, I am having a choice. How do I want to spend my time? Do I want to spend my time enjoying my senses, or do I want to spend my time serving Krishna? And here Narottam Das Thakur says that, and of course, not him, but he's taking the position of a normal living entity in the material world. That most people, they have chosen sense gratification. Just look here today. Out of all the people in Laguna, how many people are here? Very few. Everybody else, what are they doing? Most of them are trying to enjoy sense gratification. And who can blame them? This is Laguna Beach. If you're going to enjoy sense gratification, this is quite a place to enjoy sense gratification. There's only one better place, Hawaii. And Prabhupada even said, there is no enjoyment in this material world, but if there is, it's in Hawaii. And your second best bet is here in Laguna Beach. So, he says, Radha Krishna Nabhajiya. He said, although I have this human birth, what have I not done? I have not worshipped Radha and Krishna. There in the back, on the big picture, we have Radha and Krishna. Actually, this temple is so nice, you could just take any one of the pictures and give a lecture. Each of these pictures is sufficient to give a lecture. There's so much in each of these nice paintings. So there in the back, as you come in, above your head, Radha and Krishna and the gopis. So Narottam Das Thakur is saying, I have not worshipped them. And then he says, and this is quite an admission, Janiya Shuniya Vishakainu. He says, even knowing, and I've not worshipped Radha and Krishna, I have drunk poison. visha. And he says, I've drunk this poison knowingly, when Prabhupada himself has sung this song and commented, he said that taking poison unknowingly, that's one thing. But knowingly taking poison, that's horrible. That's condemned. So what is this visha? What is this poison? Again, the poison is sense gratification. Trying to enjoy my senses. Not serving Radha and Krishna or not serving Panchatattva. That's poison, according to Narottam Das Thakur. Because we have one book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami's book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Amrita. Amrita is the opposite of visha. Visha means poison. Amrita means deathless nectar. That which will rejuvenate you. That which will keep you siempre vive, live forever. That's Amrita. And that Amrita is contained in Krishna consciousness. That deathless nectar is in any one of the nine processes of bhakti. Right now you're doing the first one, Shravanam, hearing. It is your great fortune that you have come and agreed, yes, let me go to the temple, let me hear something about Krishna. So that is your benediction, that is your blessing. You Indian people here, you very well know, you like to get blessings from the sadhus, right? But what we are not meditating on is that we can have the blessings always. Your blessings is always there. Krishna's blessings are always there. If you engage, the easiest thing, hear about God, hear about Krishna, hear about the absolute truth. As soon as you're engaged in hearing, you're immediately being blessed. That is the nature of this Krishna consciousness movement. This Krishna consciousness movement is all about blessing. And you can get the blessing simply by hearing and chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. So Narottam is saying, I have gotten this human birth, rare human birth. It should have been engaged in Krishna consciousness, hearing and chanting and worshiping and serving. But instead, I spent my time drinking the poison of sense gratification. Those of you who have studied Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita teaches in the 18th chapter that there are three kinds of enjoyment. Enjoyment in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And the nature of those enjoyments, the happiness, is different. You study that 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that happiness in the mode of goodness, the time element enhances. In the beginning, it's a little painful, a little discomfort, but as time goes on, it turns to nectar. Happiness in the mode of passion, very good in the beginning, but as time goes on, it turns sour. My favorite example. Whatever your favorite food is, gulab jamun, pizza, whatever. One, oh, very good. Two, good. But 100, no more. No more. Motive passion. It was good in the beginning. But as time goes on, turns sour. And then in the mode of goodness, the mode of ignorance, it's suffering in the beginning, middle, and end. But the trick of Maya, when you try to enjoy in the mode of ignorance, you think you're enjoying, while actually you're suffering. But you think you're enjoying. That's Maya. People sometimes ask, what is Maya? That's one definition. You're suffering, and you think, oh, this is the life. I think I'm enjoying, when actually you're suffering. So sense gratification from the spiritual point of view is poison, and serving Krishna is amrita, nectar. Let's go to Narottam's second verse. Golokera premadhana harinama sankirtana. Golokera premadhana harinama sankirtana. Ratinajan milokene tai. Ratina janmilo kene chai. Sangsara vishanale dibanishi hiya jwale. Sangsara vishanale dibanishi hiya jwale. Juraite na koinu pai. Juraite na koinu pai. So this next line is very, very nice. Golokera prema dana. So there is a world beyond this material world. There is a transcendental world. Krishna mentions this in his Bhagavad Gita a few times. In chapter 8, chapter 15, he mentions his abode, that it is beyond this material world. And in that spiritual world, there are two main regions. And the topmost region, Goloka Vrindavan. Again, this picture gives you a window into Goloka Vrindavan. Very, very most beautiful place. The abode of Krishna, where every word is a song, where every walk is a dance. And the symptom of Goloka, every part of Goloka loves Krishna. Everything is conscious. Here, this is not conscious. But if I did that to you, you'll say, hey, stop. What are you doing? Because you're conscious. But in Goloka, even the chair is conscious. The grass is conscious. The cows, the trees, the land, the water, the houses. Everything is conscious. Everything's personal. So this Goloka Vrindavan, the topmost planet of the spiritual world, there is a prema dana. Dana means treasure. And there is a treasure, prema, divine love, transcendental love. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he preaches this prema. He says, prema pumarto mahan. In the Vedas, there are four purusha arthas, or goals of human life. Dharma, artha, kam moksha. So dharma means you follow a system of religion. By regulating your senses and following a system of religion, you get some economic development. With that economic development, you enjoy your life. You live nicely. And then after that, you can try for liberation. So these are called the Purusha Arthas, the goal of the person, living being. But Lord Chaitanya says there's a Panchama Purusha Artha. There's a fifth one, Prema, love of God. This concept of love of God is the real topic of eternal religion. When we, in Prabhupada's movement, when we talk about religion, we're not talking about Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist. These are clubs. These are clubs. Real religion is love of God. That's real religion. And even in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Sutta Goswami is asked by the sages of Naimisharanya, what is religion? Sutta also says, religion means to develop that love for Adhoksaja. Who is Adhoksaja? That person beyond the range of your senses. God, who is transcendental. So Lord Chaitanya says, Prema Pumarto Mahan. God is a person. You're a person. I'm a person. And Bhagavad Gita teaches, you're a person eternally. You were a person a million years ago when you had a different body, a different car. You were still a person. You're a person now. And Bhagavad Gita teaches you will always be a person. Always. So I like to make a joke. Get used to yourself. Because you're not going anywhere. You are eternally a person. And Prabhupada taught us God is a person. Many people think, oh, God is not a person. He's impersonal. He's some energy. He's some something. But no, Gita, Bhagavatam, all the Vedic scriptures ultimately are saying God is a person. In the Bhagavad Gita, he's called Purusha Uttama. He's a Purusha, a person, but he's Uttama, transcendental, the topmost, beyond you. The great, even Krishna says in his Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, that there are two kinds of human beings, fallible and infallible. I don't know about you, but I know which category I belong to, and it's not infallible. Krishna says, here in this material world, everyone's fallible. And in the spiritual world, everyone's infallible. Then Krishna says, but me, Krishna, I am beyond both fallible and infallible. So that's the difference. That's only one difference between God and us. He is beyond both the fallible and the infallible. Therefore, Krishna says, I am celebrated in the Vedas, everywhere as Purusha Uttama. Everybody say, Purusha. The topmost and the key word, person. I asked on two different occasions, two of Prabhupada's stalwart servants, Shamasundar Das and Harishari Das, I asked them on two separate occasions, Prabhu, you had so much association with Prabhupada. I had little, but these two had so much time with Prabhupada. So I asked them, what was the most significant thing you learned? And they both said, and this was like a year apart, they said, let me think. Yes, the greatest thing I learned from Prabhupada was that God was a person. So this idea that God is a person. Now, if he's a person, then this concept of love of God is very plausible. We, all of us, we have relationships. We have relationship with our spouse. Hopefully it's loving. You have relationships with your children. Hopefully it's loving. You have, when you go to the office, you have relation with the co-workers, and then that worst one of all, the relationship with the boss. So you have different kinds of relationships because you're a person. And Lord Chaitanya is teaching you have a relationship with Krishna, with God. And not only that, you have a relationship, but your relationship is unique and special and individual. So sometimes people ask, why are you always chanting? Why are you always mumbling? Well, one reason is that the more I chant, the more I will realize what is my individual unique relationship with Krishna. I don't know about you. I'm very much interested to know what is my individual unique relationship with God. Because that's ultimately what I'm heading for. I want to know what I'm going to be doing for eternity. Some religions, they teach, when you die, you go to heaven. So you ask them, so what do you do in heaven? I don't know. Play a harp. But in our philosophy, it's very specific what you can be doing in eternity. Look at, again, this picture. There's a lot going on in Krishna's abode. They seem to be having a dance. Just think about that. You can dance with God. And looks like they also play music. I love music. I have music playing all day long. So they also have music. Oh, one of the gopis has some food. So how many people like to eat? Right? So don't worry. You're going to eat in the spiritual world nicely. How many of you enjoy the Sunday feast? Isn't it the main reason why you come? Why do you think I joined? I only joined because of the food. I'm being very honest. That was the reason. If there's no food in the Hare Krishna temple, goodbye. I would not have joined this movement. So, don't worry, there's nice eating in the kingdom of God. So there's lots of activities going on. And you have a function, a unique function, to serve Krishna. And it'll be out of love. You go to your job, it depends. But most of us, when we go to our job, you're not going there out of love. You're not going to your boss and saying, my dear boss, I love you so much. You know what? I'm going to work 8 hours overtime and you don't have to pay me. Are you going to do that? No. Because you don't love your boss. But in the spiritual world with Krishna, you'll work the whole day and you'll think, the time went by. When Krishna danced with the gopis, it was a night of Brahma, and the time went like that. They didn't want it to end. So there's lots to look forward to. So, the love of God, which Lord Chaitanya is teaching, that's his philosophy, prema pumarto mahan. The ultimate goal of life is love of God. He says that prema dana has descended. It has been imported from the spiritual world. In what form? Hari Nama Sankirtan. I like to make a joke. Here is one thing not imported from China. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, right? Your phones, everything is China. But this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, no. It's coming from that abode. That's where it's coming from. It's not a material sound vibration. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra was imported and brought from Goloka, the spiritual world, and it is now here. And thanks to Srila Prabhupada, what was his mission? His mission, following the order of Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya said, I want this Hare Krishna mantra in every town and village throughout the whole world. And those who are, as you can say, followers of Lord Chaitanya, like Srila Prabhupada, they see to it that yes, this chanting of the holy name should be in every town and village. Just like our temple president, Tukaram Prabhu, he has brought this treasure house of love of God, Harinam Sankirtan, to Long Beach. That is glorious. Who else was doing that? You have done that. That makes you glorious. Let's appreciate. Very nice. But Lord Chaitanya wants this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to be everywhere. So you also, any one of you, wherever you are, you can distribute whatever opportunity you get. Chant Hare Krishna. I've told the story, maybe some of you may have not heard. Many years ago, I was working a regular job in Westwood. So one day in the building, the elevator was filled with all kinds of exchange students. And the different couples, like there were seven different languages going on. So you could hear German, French, you know, different kinds. So I was thinking, okay, here's my chance. So I started to out loud chant verses from Bhagavad Gita. I figured, let me add some Sanskrit to this. So they were, everybody was talking. So I was saying, Dharvanaman Paritya Jamamekam Sharam Vrajahang Pang Sarva Papebhyo. Our job is to distribute this Harinam Sankirtan. This is the religion of the age of Kali, Harinam Sankirtan. So now he says, Rati na janmilo kene. Again, he's lamenting. Why I did not achieve any attraction or attachment for this chanting? So somebody should ask, Prabhu, how do I become attached to chanting? The answer, start chanting. That's all. Practice makes perfect. The athletes, all these million-dollar athletes, they spend hours bouncing a ball, throwing it into a hoop. Every day, that's their practice. Bounce a ball for a couple of hours, choop, choop. So, we also do our repetitions. Here it is. That's why we chant over and over and over and over again. We're practicing. We're practicing. And the more you chant, the more you become attached to it. That's simple. You want to become attached to chanting? Just start chanting. And Another question. How much should I chant? Till you can't chant anymore. You chant until you are completely free from all kinds of material attachments, till you have awakened your love of Krishna. And the trick is, how do you know that you've chanted sufficiently? You know because you don't want to stop chanting. That's when you know it. I've achieved it. Because I don't want to stop. I remember reading, maybe 30 years ago, when the Beatles first got Prabhupada's record, Prabhupada's first record, Hare Krishna, you've heard that record, Prabhupada's first record. So the Beatles got a copy of that, and they admitted that when they first started to play it, they didn't want to stop it because they felt like the lights were going to go out. So they got a glimpse. And then, of course, George Harrison placed it in his song, My Sweet Lord. That was good service. Millions of people got a introduction to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So chant, chant, chant. That's all. Just keep chanting. Even the Bhagavatam says that even if you are an offensive chanter, doesn't matter. Keep chanting. Eventually, you become offenseless in your chanting. But here Narottam is saying, here I am, I wasted my life, and I did not achieve any attraction for chanting Krishna's holy names. Sangsara vishanale divanishi hi ajwale. He says, because I don't have attachment for chanting, now I am burning. I'm burning day and night. And I'm burning, again, he uses this word, visha, poison. He says, because of sense gratification, the resultant reaction of sense gratification is frustration. In the Bhagavad Gita, the same thing is explained. This is the problem with material sense gratification. That no matter how much material sense gratification you try to have, you're never satisfied. That's the problem. Yes. We try to enjoy our senses in various ways, and we're trying and trying, but in the end, we all become frustrated. And most of you before your time, but when I was 15 years old, this is summertime, right? So in 1965, what was the number one song on the radio? I can't get no satisfaction. Absolute truth, Mick Jagger. Absolute truth. Yes, you cannot get satisfaction trying to enjoy your senses. It's very clear in the Bhagavad Gita. There is no satisfaction through sense enjoyment. Temporarily you will enjoy, but in the end, you will become frustrated. And even the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 3, Krishna uses the same example. The senses are never satisfied and they burn like fire. That's like if you eat food which has too much chilies. I'm talking too much. You can get burned. It's too hot. One time in India, I was invited to one house in Lucknow. I was with a sannyasi. So this sannyasi was pretty accustomed. So the lady served, and the sannyasi said, give me one chili on the side. green chili. So I was a young buck, 25 years old. I said, yeah, give me one too. And the sannyasi was smiling. I took one bite. Ah! It was so hot. It was so hot. And the sannyasi was laughing. Think you can imitate me? Sense gratification causes a burning. It's right there in chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita. There is no satisfaction. It'll burn you. You'll become frustrated. And after frustration, there will be anger. This is scientifically designed. Judaite nakainupai. He said, Narottama is saying, I had the means to alleviate my burning, but I didn't take to it. We see this as a phenomenon in human nature. Sometimes somebody has an addiction or a problem or a disease, and there's remedies available, but the person is so stubborn, no, I won't do it. All help, all facility is made available, but the person is so unfortunate, he doesn't take the benefit. He doesn't avail himself. He has no one to blame but himself. So Narottama is saying, yes, Lord Chaitanya is here, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is here, and if I don't take to it, whose fault is it? It's my own fault. As I was saying earlier, Harinama Eva Kevalam. If you want relief, if you want satisfaction, salvation, it's here. It's in this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is what we're preaching. Chant Hare Krishna and your life will be sublime. That's our motto. The very first card I got from a devotee in 1973, or maybe it was 72. No, it was 72. The first card I got. I was on my way to a recording session. I was trying to become Mick Jagger. So, all of a sudden, on the way to the studio, a Martian appeared. He had orange robes and strange egg on his face and was like, what? And he handed me the card. It disappeared on his airplane ship. I said, what was that? And I saw the card and had a picture of Lord Chaitanya. Remember those cards? Picture of Lord Chaitanya with the Maha Mantra. And at the bottom, chant this mantra and your life will be sublime. So I just put it somewhere as on my way to the studio. And that recording session was recording session from hell. It was a complete disaster. I couldn't sing in tune. My manager was screaming at me, and it was just a nightmare. So on the way home, I'm going to see my girlfriend. I had to take a subway, I had to take a bus. So it's like 2-3 hours. So it's 12 o'clock midnight. I'm looking at that card. Hare Krishna, Hare. And I kept seeing, chant this mantra and your life will. So I just kept looking at it. By the time I got to my girlfriend's house, 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't know how it happened, but I said, Linda, we have to stop smoking. We have to stop having sex. We have to become like this. And she, all of a sudden, manifested her Putana form. And she threw me out of the house. Get out of here! And my initial reaction was, wow, this mantra really works. So the next day, I'm with my eldest brother, and I'm saying, I don't know what it is, but I think I'm going to become a Hare Krishna. And my brother looked at, because at this time I had hair down to here and I had a big beard. I was very handsome. And when my brother heard, yes, I think I'm going to become a Hare, he looked at me like, Oh. And then 1 year later, Hare Krishna. Hare. So be careful. This mantra is very powerful. Be careful. Let's go to verse number 3. Brajendra Nandana Jay Shachi Suta Hoila Se Brajendra Nandana Jay Shachi Suta Hoila Se Balaram Hoila Nita Balaram Hoilo Nitai Dinahina Jatatilo Hariname Udarilo Dinahina Jatatilo Hariname Udarilo Tarasakshi Jagai Madhai Tara Sakshi Jagai Madhai. So here, Narottam Das Thakur is giving us some confidential information. He's saying, so you look at this temple here on the altar. The central figure is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Gauranga. Everybody say Gauranga. So that Gauranga is actually Krishna himself. Not an incarnation of Krishna, not an expansion of Krishna, but Krishna himself, God himself. And then to his right, our left, is Nitai or Nityananda. So they are spiritual brothers. They're spiritual brothers in the Leela of Lord Chaitanya. So just as Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, Krishna's brother is Balaram. Last week you had the Rath Yatra. So last week you had the Rath Yatra of Jagannath, who's Krishna, Balaram, Krishna's brother and sister, Subhadra. So Nityananda is Lord Balaram. So we are blessed that 500 years ago, Krishna and Balaram appeared together as Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. So their appearance was for personal reasons and external reasons. The external reason, which is the one that mostly concerns us, their external reason for appearing was to deliver the fallen souls of this age of Kali. The age of Kali began the day Krishna went back to his abode 5,000 years ago. So in this age of Kali, people are unfortunate, they're unlucky, they're misguided, always disturbed. These are the symptoms mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the people of Kali Yuga, day after day, are beset with a bombardment of materialism. Everywhere you look, everywhere you turn, you're just being bombarded with materialism. So Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, they have come to deliver us from this terrorist attack of Maya. Maya is the ultimate terrorist. She is destroying our spiritual inclination. The whole matrix of this material world in Kali Yuga is designed to distract us, to dissuade us, to thwart our enthusiasm for spiritual life. That's why it's hard. It's hard to chant. It's hard to remain a devotee because the environment is not conducive. That's why Prabhupada established temples. The temple is here to create an environment where it's easy to perform Krishna consciousness. That's the purpose of the temple. Create an atmosphere where it's easier for you to hear, chant, and do service. Because out there, you're all alone. It's you versus the material energy. Good luck. But you come here, you get reinforcement. You get encouragement. You get some enlightenment. You get enthused. So Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, they have come to deliver the fallen souls. And there is the next picture over there. The first two recipients, Jagai and Madhai. They were the recipients, especially of Lord Nityananda. That Lord Nityananda was so great, these two sinful persons, Jagai and Madhai, Lord Nityananda approached them. Why don't you chant? And they became antagonistic. And one of them threw a pot at Nityananda and struck him. So Lord Chaitanya, when he heard, he immediately came. And he was going to kill Jagai and Madhai. But Nityananda said, "No, my lord. Our descent is for a different purpose. We are here to deliver everyone." So because of Nityananda, Jagai and Madhai were saved. So Nityananda here in this temple is very, very auspicious because he is very much concerned. He wants to see that all of us, every one of us, become spiritually advanced. So, the way to become spiritually advanced, everybody, how do you become spiritually advanced? Well, show me. There you go. There you go. You passed your examination. You learned something from this class. Very good. You get three rings of the bell. When should I stop? Stop now? Okay, the boss says, stop now. Thank you very much. May you become inspired, enthused, and enlivened to chant the holy name. Thank you. Hare Krishna.